Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And joining us now, as he always does, on Wednesdays at noon, Jonathan Hutton from Outkick's Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow joins us now. Hutton, always enjoy chatting with you. And I was listening to your conversation with John McClain, who was on with you and Hutton. Withrow yesterday on a Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, and he said that the Texans have soured on CJ Stroud. Do you buy it? One, and two, is CJ Stroud a quarterback for the Titans worth trading up for?
So good to be with you guys. I would have said 3 weeks ago when we have John on weekly, he wouldn't have said that. He's as in tune with that organization as anyone, period. And yeah, he said that they've soured on CJ Stroud, but I followed up by asking why, and he doesn't know. And he's like, anyone that's trying to say they know why really doesn't know. Insinuating that if he doesn't know, no one knows. He doesn't buy the whole, it's all because of the agent storyline, because there are so many good players represented by that agency. So, and also the agent negotiated the contract for Watson that allowed Houston to have multiple first round picks from Cleveland. So he pointed that out. I'm stunned if they don't take a quarterback. And if it's not CJ Stroud, I couldn't draft one of the other two at number two. That's what's so intriguing now. And now we have even more storylines going into next Thursday, which is exactly what the NFL wants. But John's not making stuff up. And he just says he doesn't know why, but he got the sense that the Texans have soured on Stroud.
Interesting. And you're 100% right. If John McClain says it, then I believe it. And whatever John McClain says, especially about the Houston Texans, goes. You said you wouldn't trade up to two for any of those quarterbacks. Would you trade up at all for, say, a Will Levis or an Anthony Richardson?
It depends where I'm coming from, though. Like, I'm not trading up from 11 to 3 because of the price tag. And the precedent is what San Francisco gave up to go get Trey Lance, which I'm sure is going to pop up here in our conversation. But they gave up, they flopped first-round picks, and then they gave up a first and a third in the 2022 draft, and they gave up a first in this year's draft. That's too steep of a price tag for an organization like the Tennessee Titans, who have so many holes. And if they're moving up to get a quarterback, they're also saying, well, he's good enough to make us better right now, and he's good enough to where we're not going to put first-round talent around him until at the best 2026, based on the tag the price tag that San Francisco paid to move up to get Trey Lance. I just don't think their roster is in that situation. And I don't think they have the luxury with only 6 picks right now to sit back and say, you know what, we'll wait on other positions of need because we're going to go to a quarterback that may or may not be ready to start.
But Hutton, wouldn't you think that if they truly believe, say it is CJ Stroud, that the Houston Texans have soured on him, mm-hmm. and choosing to go in another direction, which would be, like, seriously, you're mad at this player, or you're not going to do business with this agent because of a prior player?
Yeah, that's
well,
crazy.
If that's the case, you may not sign a lot of good players because this agency is huge, you know, and they got players that you may want eventually on your team. So it's hard to buy it, but it is the NFL. But if they do like CJ Stroud, the Titans, wouldn't you do what you need to do to go get him if you indeed feels – he and Bryce Young are the best quarterbacks in this year's draft, and you are not looking to 2024 with a possibility of getting a Drake May or Caleb Williams or any other quarterback that may shine next season.
I mean, is it, but again, like I couldn't give up the capital to move up. If, I mean, you, in the scenario, the Houston Texans are passing on CJ Stroud in this scenario. And if they're souring, I mean, the Texans have won 11 games over the last 3 years, and they're not going to draft CJ Stroud number two overall. If that's not a red flag for everyone else, I don't know what is, considering what's on the line there. And a brand new coaching staff. They have a offensive coordinator that is the passing game coordinator to Mike McDaniel, who was the run game coordinator for Shanahan. And he's passing on CJ Stroud. Like, there's so many things that would come up in my mind at that point where, I mean, the Titans have looked at everybody but Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. I realize like they've done their due diligence, but we've been talking about Will Levis and Anthony Richardson coming to town, and CJ Stroud didn't make that visit because he's not going to be there. And now all of a sudden, forgive me for thinking this way, but all of a sudden, one of the biggest reporters on the network that's carrying the NFL draft creates drama about picks 1, 2, and 3.
This is my point. I've been saying this. It just, can we please just have the draft?
No.
I'm just tired of it.
I want more drama.
I want the gossip.
Exactly.
Give me the tea.
Absolutely.
The draft should be this weekend.
But I do want to throw one thing in before we move on from Houston and what they could do it to. They also have the 12th overall pick. Mm-hmm. And John McClain threw this in there with what he told us, Caroline. Hendon Hooker. If you love Hendon Hooker, you can get him at 12, hypothetically. Yeah. And you can draft the best defensive player and still get a quarterback for the future. If you're in love with Hendon Hooker, you can draft him at 12 because they have Cleveland's pick.
Which would also mean that if the Titans love Hendon Hooker, they would have to take him at 11.
Yeah, if you love a quarterback, you have to take them where you are. You can't assume you can trade down and he's going to be there. Like that's the one position where I don't play that game. If you're decisive on if you feel like you've got three defensive ends, this is a great draft for edge rushers. You've got three defensive ends that are kind of jammed together there. You can trade back and you're probably going to get one of them, and if not, you can trade back again. But at quarterback, you got to draft the guy. If you think Richardson is the future quarterback but needs development, you got to draft him high. Same with Will Levis. You have to show some conviction in what you're doing, and you can't just assume that a player is going to be there. And I'm not saying that there are five quarterbacks that are going to be drafted in the top 12. Mm-hmm. But if Houston passes at 2, and then who knows what Arizona does, well, then Indianapolis must do something at quarterback. And then after that, it's just kind of a hodgepodge of teams that could use a quarterback of the future, but they have a veteran, or they're going defense and they're going corner and pass rush and offensive tackle until Houston picks again at 12. Again, they could be looking at a scenario where they think they can get Hooker, and that's the big surprise of the draft.
Now, you brought up Trey Lance, and obviously the reports are teams that have inquired about Trey Lance. They have picked up the phone and called San Francisco. Now, San Francisco is not making the calls. They're receiving the calls. Should the Titans be one of those teams that not just make a call, but seriously think about bringing Trey Lance to this roster? Because it's only right now, we say it's only going to cost a third round pick. But if there's more teams, you know, in this mix, it may cost more than a third round pick.
Well, I can think of three teams in the AFC South that could use Trey Lance right now. Two of them he'd start. I like the idea of Trey Lance behind Ryan Tannehill, and I trust that Rand Carthon would make the right call on that. He would know him better than anybody of the GMs that are going to be making that move. So, I mean, I would be on board with that decision in the idea that he's coming off an injury and you're keeping Tannehill around.
Would you extend Tannehill's contract if that's indeed the case, if that's the route you want to take? Because
no.
Coming off this injury, you don't know if he's going to essentially be the quarterback that you scouted him to be.
Well, I say no quickly, but like, I I say that because with or without Trey Lance, I'm moving on from Ryan Tannehill after 2023. And you can make the quarterback decision on all that and have a quarterback battle a year from now. But I've got to have a starter in Tannehill this year. And then let's figure out the path of where we're going. Again, if I'm the general manager trying to decide the future and course the line of how we're building depth. But keep in mind, the Titans have six picks and they don't have a fourth rounder. And the consensus is, and talking with people that are like diving into the draft, this is a great draft in the top 100, meaning the first three rounds, for edge rusher, corner, and offensive tackle. The Titans can use all three. And if you're buying into acquiring talent, building depth, and we can just go down the list of anything that Amy Adams Strunk was talking about to Teresa Walker in December, well, this is the draft to do that in the top three rounds at those positions. And you would be trading one of those third round picks for Lance, who's a backup. So if you're trading for him, regardless of the second, third round selection, you are trading for a quarterback that you believe can start for you. But it doesn't necessarily have to be week one, because again, he's coming off the injury. And what a luxury for San Francisco to draft Brock Purdy. I mean, that this all stems from that. And they and to get there, the path and the course that they went on, where they didn't want Garoppolo, he still ends up there, and Purdy's on the practice squad, then he's on the roster. It's just crazy how we ended up here. But think about all the teams that make sense for Trey Lance right now. Atlanta. Let's throw Atlanta into the mix. The Green Bay Packers. If I'm Indy, I'm making that phone call. So many different examples of teams that for a third-round pick could get a guy that went third overall and that San Francisco paid a fortune for.
More with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow joins us now. Hutton, looking at the rest of the draft, the Titans have several different options that they could go with. They could stay at 11, trade up for a quarterback, trade back if there's a willing trade partner. Of all of those options and potential players that are available, you are Rand Carthon. What do you think is the smartest decision for the Titans to make in round one?
Well, it depends on the I need to know who's available. If Jalen Carter's there, like, I'm taking him. He's not going to be there. If one of these top-of-the-end pass rushers, again, they're not going to be there, I don't think. Right now, guys, I know it's boring. I would take the top tackle. I would. And we know how awful this offensive line was, and I could easily be again. And everything that they do is built in the trenches. If you don't believe me, look at the $55 million they're spending on the defensive front. It's time to overhaul the offensive line. They've been trying to do that, and it's far from over. And I'm getting a tackle on a rookie contract, and there are three that are legitimate top 15-type guys. So I'm getting one of those just based on the base, like, not a basic question that you threw out, just the scenario of, what's the safe play? I'm taking a tackle that can start for me and I can build around on the offensive line. And I'm also trying to think the way the Tennessee Titans would be thinking.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. And Jonathan, what about, you're talking about boring. I'm kind of like you. I really think, based on what you said about the top 100 of this draft, if you're not desperate for the quarterback, and I would put the Titans in that category. Not desperate for a quarterback. Certainly looking for the next guy. But don't have to have him right now. The idea of trading down and getting more picks is really appealing to me.
And they need to do that, right? But so at 11, there's a potential. So in the scenario we just talked about 5 minutes ago, there's the potential that Houston at 12 is looking at a quarterback. So the Titans are in a good spot to trade back and get a haul just based on if a team is trying to get ahead of Houston. It's always about chasing the QBs. So if the QBs go 1, 2, 3, then it's about chasing the corner, the tackle or the defensive ends that are around. And I think the value at 11 for the Titans is better to draft one of those guys that everyone else is chasing. If I'm another team, I'm trying to get ahead of Tennessee, Willie, is what I'm saying, before they pick at 11 for some of those players. Point being, if Houston, for whatever reason, is going after Hendon Hooker at 12, and more power to him, I think Hooker's a solid QB. But if they pass on C.J. Stroud at 2, and it's a signal that they're looking at quarterback because of what could happen if the upset of the draft occurs, well, then Tennessee is in a great spot to trade down with a first-time general manager and pick up extra picks. I would be all about that, given the fact they've got 6 selections currently, and they don't currently have a 4th. So if you're just looking at the top 100 and the value there, yeah, trade back is a good scenario. But this seems – I mean, there are only 17 players attending the first round of the draft in Kansas City. Maybe some of that's Kansas City. Maybe some of that is also agents don't really want to tell the prospects, well, you're going to go somewhere between 15 and 35, but we're not really sure. Hmm. And I think that's a lot of these players because of the top 100 and how they kind of bunch together.
That's interesting. Only 17 are going.
Yeah.
So, once again, I think about if I'm Rand Carthon, this is just me, amateur dude over here, but the quarterbacks always seem to gravitate up. Again,
no
trying
doubt.
To work to my advantage the fact that the quarterbacks will move up the board. So how many of the top 5 picks do we think at least 3 are gone in the first 5?
I think so, yes. I think Houston's taking a quarterback at 2.
And I think I think Young and Stroud are a given, and then I think
Indy.
Somebody is going to jump up and just be too tantalized by the upside of Richardson. Do we agree with that? Somebody's going early on him. I'd be surprised if he slides down.
Or Indy's taking a quarterback as of right now. They've got to have a QB. So
right.
that's 3 right there in what I believe happens before Seattle's even on the clock. But then comes the which of these teams are in a spot where they're okay reaching for a quarterback and they've got a veteran. And I think Richardson needs that, quite honestly. So, like, Vegas or Seattle or Atlanta or whoever. Tennessee's in that mix. Like, all those teams did their due diligence on Richardson, and all those teams have a veteran quarterback they either just signed or they have got a quarterback that they're trying to develop. And I'm speaking of Atlanta and that with Ritter. But, again, I do think there's a wild card team that will grab one of the 2, Willis and Richardson, or Levis and Richardson, excuse me, and we're thinking, they just did what? They just signed so-and-so this offseason. Plus, we need to throw Washington into the mix. Who knows what Tampa does? I mean, there are a lot of different teams that we haven't spent much time on because they're not picking top 10 that may be desperate.
Okay, so let's get out of the boring category and go, what would be the most compelling scenario? Let's say that the 3 guys that we just mentioned are off the board, and then somebody between picks 6 and 10 goes up and grabs, let's just say, Levis. Let's say Hooker is the one guy that's still out there that is a quarterback who has a first-round potential, et cetera. Titans are sitting there at 11. They can take him. So their choices are taking him, but they might, just because all these other quarterbacks are gone, they
or
might
trade,
get four phone calls from teams saying, hey, we really want Hooker. He's the only guy left. We got to have a quarterback. That, to me, is the most compelling thing that could happen at 11 for the Titans. A choice of taking Hooker. Let's just say it's him, or maybe Hooker gets picked earlier and it's Levis. You get this decision.
Yeah.
It's either that or trade down and get maybe a haul, right? You could, if you got 2 or 3 teams competing, the more you're going to get. So to me, that's the big. That could be the big choice for Rand Carthon. Imagine that. It's your first ever pick as a first-time GM. Brand new team, that's your choice. That's a big choice.
It's a scenario of, okay, we're setting ourselves up at the position that is most critical. It may not be for this year, but at the same time, you're also, in your scenario, passing on that to say, let's get the haul now and load up on the nuts and bolts, you know, the meat and potatoes of what we have to do. And that's what Robinson did when he first took the job. You know, he had the top pick, and he decided what, and he also had Mariota there. I get all that, but he had the top pick and traded it away in order to get the haul and use those picks for different things that were needed across the roster. I just view the Titans right now, and here's why I don't think their roster is set up to just take a quarterback and wait, or trade up, excuse me, for a quarterback. They don't have many players on rookie contracts as it is. And that always comes back to bite you, no matter how steep the salary cap will continue to rise. Other teams have the luxury of looking around, like Philadelphia. They have a lot of players, for the most part, when I say a lot, within reason, of players that are still playing on their rookie deals. And so that was the luxury of having Corey Davis and A.J. Brown and Tannehill. You didn't have to pay everybody all at once. And the Titans are paying a lot of guys that they didn't draft. And that's not a great scenario of roster building and depth. And they have a chance to get some guys at some crucial positions, some pricey positions, specifically edge rusher or tackle, that are not going to be pricey for several years. And you can still maintain some semblance of who you are identity-wise and get a quarterback later. You don't have to force the issue at quarterback this offseason unless you are just 100% all in. And I just don't get the sense that at 11, they're going to force the issue at quarterback if some guy were to fall and say, you're mentioning Hooker. To me, it's a redshirt year for him, and that's not a knock on him, Willie. I really like him, but it's a redshirt year for him. Mm-hmm. And it's also, in many ways, a redshirt year for Richardson, where he's either going to come in and start and take a lot of, you know, bumps along the way, or he's going to be sitting behind a veteran because the team's going to grab him because they see the athleticism and the high ceiling. Those are the two that would be willing – I would be willing to, for a Titan scenario, to put behind Tannehill for a year. But in any scenario that I'm mentioning, Tannehill's on the roster and he's a starter. Like I think they have to acknowledge that. If they're going quarterback at 11 and it's Richardson or it's Hooker in this scenario.
Now, with all that being said, do you believe this is a 2-year process for the Tennessee Titans at building this roster back up to compete, not just within their own division, but within the conference as well?
It's
hard to kind of think that with Vrabel and Rand Carthon together and what they're thinking. But looking at the roster, it can't just be we're going to be a playoff team next year. Even though you may think that, but they have a lot of holes to fill.
Yes. I mean, and offensively, man. I mean, Mace, they don't need just one receiver.
Yeah, you're right.
And they've only got 6 picks. So they've almost got to trade away 11 if a quarterback's there just to fill the roster out around Tannehill and Henry. And I'm basing this off of what they have right now. Mm-hmm. I think if I'm hoping for the fans' sake, it's only a 2-year process, because if they have not been getting drafts right at the top of the drafts. And Carthon's got to get this draft right to set things up on course for that scenario that you're laying out to happen. Those guys have to be producers. And again, think about the young players on Jacksonville's roster that are playing on the rookie contracts so they can spread their money out elsewhere. That's gold in the National Football League. And the Titans haven't had that luxury. And they were hamstrung by that last year, in some ways this year. And I mean, even team players like Kevin Byard asked to take pay cuts, and he's not wanting to do that. Like, it's just a mess right now, and it's not going to be a quick fix by drafting a quarterback and then saying, you know what, we'll wait and determine the other positions a year from now. This is part of gathering picks, gathering talent, and if you can do those in the top 4 rounds this year, that's a win for Carthon, because, again, they've got multiple needs and not as many picks to actually fill those needs for the talent that they need and the production they need from this class.
Hutton, always appreciate chatting with you. Next time we talk, we'll be only 24-ish hours away from the draft.
We're almost there. Will we be on the clock together? Will we have a mock?
You know what? That sounds like a really great idea. We'll need to get our NFL draft twinkly noise all set and ready, Nick.
I'll just leave you with this just briefly. Give me 10 seconds. Kyle Shanahan, the idea that he would trade away Trey Lance, the hand-picked prince of San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan would trade away Trey Lance for a third-round pick 2 years later after barely seeing him play. It's going to take more than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that the Titans got Malik Willis in the third round. And I shake my head at that. And it's crazy how that report definitely came from the 49ers, and it's worded as if it didn't.
Hey, there's just no way. There's no way. If he's a mystery to us, then he's still a mystery to San Francisco,
exactly.
too. At least wait on it and see what you can get. Hutton, always appreciate you. Chat with you next
Thank
week.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Always enjoy it.
Yep.
Coming up next, a decision that has been debated across sports ever since it happened. Do we agree with the decision? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
I was surprised for the simple fact that he got tossed last night. I personally, I don't have any proof. I think his histrionics running around the gym, doing this with the commissioner in the building, I think that's why they got I think that's personally why he got suspended.
That could be part of it, just like, you know, his history of unsportsmanlike
acts. Did the same thing last time, running around the gym when he got tossed in Memphis, running around doing that.
That's when he took Brandon Clark.
Yeah. So I think that's, like I say, I'm still surprised. But what really bothers me about this whole thing, to be honest with you, we're taken away from the fact that the Sacramento Kings are just kicking their ass. That's what bothers me. For the first time in a long time, the Sacramento Kings have had a fabulous season and a terrific team. And we're going to be talking about this. I don't know what's going to happen in the game the next couple nights.
That was Charles Barkley on the suspension of Draymond Green. Now, if you haven't heard, which if by now you haven't heard, I'm shocked because it's been on ESPN. It's been everywhere. But Draymond Green went up, came down, and this is in the playoff series for the Warriors against the Sacramento Kings. He comes down, kind of falls on Domantas Sabonis of the Kings. Domantas Sabonis kind of grabs onto his foot, and Draymond Green's shaking his foot free, kind of stomps on Domantas Sabonis' chest, and then keeps running forward. And Domantas Sabonis is kind of waving his arms about.
He soccered it up.
He was totally flopping. Draymond Green was hit with a flagrant and ejected from that game and has now been subsequently suspended by the NBA. And this has been an incredibly controversial decision by the NBA. Do you two agree with it?
Unfortunately, as much as I love Draymond Green.
Go Green,
go White, Spartan Dog. I mean, Draymond is the heartbeat of that that Warriors team. He's the defensive setter for that team. And he sets up a lot of their offensive plays, too, because he has the capability of, not as much as he did when he was younger, but he has the capability of, you know, hitting that three-pointer, the, you know, pick and pop or pick and roll with Draymond. So he does a lot for that organization on the court. But, I mean, the antics. Listen, I understand why he sort of stepped on Sabonis, but everything else after that, it was just, you basically showed up the NBA. That's what you did. When you went on a sideline and you start throwing your hands up and going back and forth with the fans and all of the antics that went along with it, you basically showed up the NBA. That's what you did with the commissioner in the building. And whether that part was a contributing factor to him being suspended, Joe Dumars, who's the executive vice president, I believe something, I don't know the exact title of Joe Dumars, but whether that was a part of it or not, Joe didn't say it, but I'm sure they went back and they thought about that. But then they took into account his history. He's at this point, I think, well, I know he's in the top 15 of most technicals all time in the NBA. I think he's at 150-something now.
Has he passed Rasheed Wallace?
I don't think he's passed Rasheed, but he's
Rasheed
passed
was the guy that
Boogie Cousins. He's passed Boogie Cousins.
No,
and a lot of other guys.
Rodman.
Exactly. So
maybe not quite passed him up.
He's sort of getting in that rarefied air, and you really don't want to be there of guys getting technicals all the time, because I heard this earlier today on ESPN, and it was Damian Woody. He said, listen, after a while, whether it's the NFL, NBA, NHL, whatever, after a while, that label that you get, it sticks with you, and you don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. Rodman, you brought a Rodman. Rodman didn't get the benefit of the doubt when he was playing. It was some of those files that I was watching Rob, and it was like, that was ticky-tack. But because of his history, he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt. That's Draymond Green. He's no longer getting the benefit of the doubt because of his past history. Should it be held against him? No, but when you do all these other things, it's like, dude, haven't you learned? They can't find you. They find you a couple of hundred thousand. He don't care.
Drop in the bucket.
Yeah, he's driving. He don't care. So what else can you do? And he has to learn now. He's old enough now. He has to learn that these things that he's doing hurts his team. When Rodman did it, they had Michael Jordan, the greatest player of all time. They had Scottie Pippen still in his prime. When you do it, you have a beat up Steph Curry, who's still great. You have a Klay Thompson, who is not nowhere near what he used to be. And Poole, he's not showing up in the playoffs this year. So you don't have the team that you used to have where you can do stuff like this. And they would sort of cover, you know, whatever was going on with their play. They're not able to do that anymore.
I will start by saying I would take Draymond Green on my team.
Oh, I would too.
He's a guy you want on your team.
Exactly.
That being said, I don't understand why this is such a big thing. I went to the workout place today. I jumped on the bike, flipped on ESPN. I had my tunes on, so I didn't even listen to what they're saying, but I just wanted to see what people were talking about and follow the ticker, all these things. They talked about that on ESPN for 45 minutes. I don't really understand what there is to look at. I don't know why it's that controversial.
Mm-hmm. It's Draymond.
It's Draymond.
Yeah.
And it's not just the stomping on the guy's chest. I mean, Sabonis. I mean, I think
that was
soccer
a good
players.
Acting job.
Soccer players
good,
like
good
nice
acting
job.
Job.
Really,
yes.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. I mean, that was he played it up.
Oh yeah, big time.
But he did stomp on him a little bit. But that's not why he got suspended. It's because of all the stuff after, and his previous track record. You put it all together. He was asking for it.
Yeah.
As Charles Barkley said, they're getting crushed. They're getting whipped by the Kings, who, if you're a casual fan, how many Kings can you name?
Just two.
I mean,
three, Sabonis now.
If you can, well, yeah, people know Sabonis now.
Yeah.
But I think, like, if you don't follow the NBA, I bet you don't know a single guy on the Kings. If you don't follow the NBA, if you're a Kentucky basketball fan,
you love them, yeah.
Yeah.
But they got two of them.
Yeah, and those guys are awesome.
De'Aaron Fox
Kings,
and Monk.
For the most part, have been irrelevant for a long, long time. Yeah. And the Warriors have been at the height of relevancy.
That should be the story. And I think if you're the commissioner, you're protecting the league. Like, you want to stick up for your league, and you don't want this to be what it's about.
But
so
I
don't really think it's a – I'm just so stunned how much play and hashing and rehashing on ESPN it's had. Like, let's talk about the other games. There's a lot of good games out there. First round is fun. You got a lot. Mm-hmm. There's more parity. There's more uncertainty in the NBA first round than there's ever been since I've been watching the league. It used to be the first round, higher seed's going to win. Mm-hmm. You might have one upset. I remember way, way back, the Nets, the team I followed, that were okay, they beat the defending champion Philadelphia 76ers three times at the Spectrum. It was unbelievable. It just never happened. But you go through 20 years, the first round, the top dogs were all – you could almost – remember that stage we had where you just knew the Warriors were going to be in the final?
Yeah.
and you knew LeBron and the Cavs were going to be in the final. It was just a matter of.
Or LeBron, wherever he went, was going to be in the final.
Yeah. The Heat, it was the same kind of thing. There's maybe one series where they were going to get challenged. Now, every one of these series, you don't know who's going to win. Like tonight, the Grizzlies, they're a higher seed. They're in big trouble. Mm-hmm. Big trouble. So that's what the NBA should be marketing to me. And then you get this. I just don't understand why are people surprised that Draymond did what he always does?
Let's continue on the other side because we've got some texts on this as well. The remainder of our thoughts and your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought on that. And hey, tune into Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3, the game for the first three rounds on Thursday, April 27th and Friday, April 28th. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, the new Cumberland.com, Smoky Mountain Tops, Parman Energy, and B&B Flooring. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Join Robbie Stanley from 10 a.m. to noon this Saturday for another Kubota Field event at the Pullman Tractor in White House for their biggest sales event of the year. Demo Kubota tractors, zero-turn mowers, and more. That is Pullman Tractor of White House, located at 3613 Highway 31 West this Saturday. So another just hilarious aspect of this entire Draymond Green, DeMontis Sabonis drama. DeMontis Sabonis is now questionable?
Yeah, with a sternum contusion.
With a sternum contusion.
I couldn't
give
believe
me a freaking break, you crybaby.
Didn't he finish the game?
I don't know when this report.
Goodness.
So I guess this is after the game.
Yeah.
So I just was looking up. I pulled up the Kings roster because I'm looking at this and I'm like, man, the Kings, like we were saying, they've been irrelevant since the days of Vlade Divac and
Chris Webber.
Chris Webber. They had some good teams for a while. And then they just disappeared. And when you're in Sacramento, you know, that's not exactly the media blitz, right? You just completely are like an outpost. Like, I couldn't name you five players from five. Like, give me the 2015 Kings roster. I couldn't name you one guy. But now I'm looking, I'm like, okay, these guys, they got something here. So I'm looking at Sabonis. I'm just looking at his numbers, you know, Gonzaga and everything. Sabonis is, this is Mark Stein from the NBA. Sabonis is questionable for game three against the Warriors on Thursday due to a sternum contusion. Come on.
Cry me a river.
It's the playoffs.
The smallest violin.
Yeah, he's
for you.
Playing. He's playing.
It's the playoffs.
It's totally posturing.
But, I mean, but this is why I do love the NBA, because of all the sports, all the professional sports that we watch, the NBA is more proactive than reactive with everything that they do. Ever since Adam Silver has become the commissioner, they've been more proactive in things that they do, trying to advance the game, trying to keep the game, you know, we want the game to be physical, but not too fit, you know, to a point where we're not going back to the 80s. We're not doing that. But they've been proactive in just about every section that they need to be, whether it's the health of the players, whether it's social justice or social issues, everything. The NBA has been forward thinking. I wish the NFL and the rest of the leagues would be like the NBA in that respect. But I believe that not only because Draymond Green, his history, but because of the antics, they don't want to have a situation where you're going back and forth with the fans and then something transpired because of that. That's what Draymond was doing. It was like you were agitating. Yeah, the fans are going to be fans. They're going to do, and some of them go overboard, and the NBA have kicked them out. They do a good job at removing them from the stands. But you can't, you know, go entice them to do something back to you going back and forth. And that's what Draymond Green was doing, antagonizing them. We don't want that in the NBA. That's what we're trying to get away from. And I'm pretty sure that was another reason why they were like, listen, we're not having this. You're gone for a game. And hopefully when you come back, you understand that we are not going moving forward. We're not having this. They didn't come to see, you know, technicals and guys getting kicked out of the game. They came to see good basketball, physical, good basketball, not this other stuff that goes on. And Draymond Green, as much as I like him, he crossed the line in that respect.
He loves all the other stuff.
Yeah.
He enjoys the other stuff.
But that
stuff.
Was his edge. Like, when he was young, that was his edge. Like, getting on people's nerves, you know, agitating them.
Yeah.
What but makes it's to him, a point now, it's great, like, we don't want that anymore.
What makes him great is also what makes exactly. him, you know, it can cross the line. There's plenty of hockey players. There, mm-hmm. Same discussions going on in Toronto about a guy named Michael Bunting. It's the same mm-hmm. thing. He did it. He crossed the line last night. Now he's going to get exactly. suspended.
That hit, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But Draymond Green, like, he has been a huge positive, right? I would want him on my team.
Exactly.
He's the guy. He has been a huge part of their championships. But when you cross the line, you got to pay the price.
Yeah.
For sure. We did have a text on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, wanting some love for Peja Stojakovic. Remember him back in the
Peja.
Day?
Peja was a beast.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he was.
So.
And I do
some
think.
Some Kings trivia.
That Kings trivia is not necessarily my strong suit.
Yes.
So please no Kings trivia geared toward me, please. I just don't think it's fair. It's a reality in sports and in basketball. I just don't think it's fair when certain calls go a certain way because of a player's history. Like, think if it was Andrew Wiggins mm-hmm. who did the exact same thing that Draymond Green did. Does he get suspended?
No.
No.
Because Andrew Wiggins is not going fair. To do all those other antics either.
No, not any of the, you know, hyping up the exactly. Kings fans and all of the chirping to the fans. He wouldn't have done that. I don't think that the fallout would have been as heated, dramatic, egregious mm-hmm. as it has been if it wasn't Draymond Green. And I know that basketball is such a personality-driven sport. Mm-hmm. NBA is such a personality-driven league. I just think you call it like you see it. No matter who it is, no matter what kind of history they have, that's the only part that I don't think is very fair. And you're not going to see me defend Draymond Green too often, but I will give him a little bit of credit here.
I will defend him, but I also will, hey, listen, call a spade a spade. I do. You got to understand the position you're in, your team is in. The Sacramento Kings are a better team than you are.
They're a good team.
They are a, right now, at this juncture, they are a better team than you are. Again, Klay Thompson isn't the Klay Thompson he used to be 3 or 4 years ago. Steph Curry, he has been getting beat up. He's still a great player, but you can't rely on him to win you series anymore. He needs help. Mm-hmm. Jordan Poole hasn't been balling in the playoffs like he did last year when he won the championship. He was one of the reasons why they won, because he elevated his game. So you need a guy like Draymond Green to be in the game, to be focused, and to know that, listen, we're not the team we used to be. I can't get away with these things and expect Steph and Klay to carry us, you know, to victory.
Klay can't do that.
Yeah, they can't do it consistently anymore. Mm-hmm. That's why they are such a horrible team on the road. I don't think they won 10 games on the road this year. Seriously, I don't think they have. So you can't – Draymond has to understand that these antics, whereas that's what made you a great player, you got to dial them back now. Because those other two great players in that run, one of them isn't great anymore. And the other one, he can't win you games consistently by himself anymore. That's like asking LeBron to win the Lakers games every night. No, he needs AD. He needs Jordan Reeves. He needs D'Angelo Russell. He needs guys to help him game in and game out. He may win you a couple, but not a series. And Draymond Green got to understand that Steph can't win you a series by himself anymore.
You know what else I think is happening in the league, which I think is a good thing? It used to be just, hey, how can you position the three superstars? You mm-hmm. give me three superstars, you'll win. You know, that's mm-hmm. what, remember LeBron did that with Dwayne Wade and those guys. And
he and Bosh?
Yeah. That used to be sort of the game plan. Now with analytics and more players to choose from, and you really got some number crunchers out there, and teams figure out how to sort of close that gap, right? Even if you don't have the big three, mm-hmm. so to speak. I mean, there's some teams winning big without that superstar power, and you're like, wow, how did they do that? Like, for years and years, if you were out manpowered, it was really tough to pull an upset. Mm-hmm. Now it's like there are formulas that those mathematicians have come up with, right? You shoot enough threes, you get the right shooters, you do the math, you know, what's happening with these five guys on the floor at the same time. You can put together a team that's pretty good.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get your thoughts on that. But, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're getting a stadium. We'll explain coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMays, 1025-1063, The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.